Praise the Lord, everyone, and hallelujah. Glory to His name. It's wonderful to be here today. I do need your prayers. I'm going to attempt to preach the Word of God this morning. I also am working on a newsletter. I spent a couple of nights on it and all day yesterday, just about all day, just compiling it, researching, getting everything ready, praying, getting the scripture, subtitles, title. It's all ready to write. All I have to do is sit down and trust God and start clacking away at the keyboard. And I only do 60 words a minute, top speed with mistakes. So keep me in prayer on that. But the reason I'm asking for prayer also is that I have all of this information in my head. I've got this problem. I've always been able to remember things. Now, as I get older, I don't quite have that ability that I used to have. However, I've always had this Velcro problem. It just sticks, sticks, sticks. I got all these facts and figures and places and names and dates all in here, and now I've got to preach, and God gave me a message to preach. I got two things rolling around at the same time. Now, I don't expect you to understand that, but it's a challenge for me. So I'm trusting God to help me because I feel absolutely helpless right now. And I know that now my wife told me, well, the Lord will help you. And I told her if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't try. So keep me in prayer. We're going to attempt to do this. And God did lay this on my heart, so I believe it will come forth. It isn't a lack of faith. I have total faith in God. And I guess that's all we can say because, you know, He said that we of ourselves can do nothing. So let's take a moment and pray and call upon Him. Dear Father in heaven, we humbly approach Thy throne of grace, and we are all in great need of Thee. O Lord, we're here because we love Thee, and we believe Thy promises, Thine exceeding great and precious promises, and we embrace them, Lord. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And we are here today, O Lord, to glorify Thy name and to be moved into position in Thy will. And we know, O Lord, that there are many, many situations that are arising around us all the time. We know that great darkness has come upon our land. We know, O Lord, that we live in a world that is not our home. And I pray now that Thou wouldst help us to be attentive to the message from heaven, that we would be made ready, O Lord, to meet Thee, for that time is at hand. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst help us to open our hearts as we open our Bibles, and let Thy Word have the preeminence in our hearts and minds, in our mind, will, emotions, and our thoughts. We yield ourselves unto Thee, O God. Let Satan be put to flight. Let him have no power to interfere with us in any way, but give us victory in the Holy Ghost, and let Thy name be glorified. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are opening this morning, first of all, to the book of Job for one verse, and then we'll be going over to the book of Jude. First of all, in Job, we're going to open to chapter 37. And the 21st verse, of course, the title of the message today we'll get from that verse, A Light in the Clouds. A Light in the Clouds. In Job 37:21, the scripture tells us, and now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Now, this isn't a lesson in meteorology this morning. That's not what it's meant to be. But there's a spiritual meaning and depth to all of God's Word. And many times we'll read things that, for instance, in the book of Job, and it's possible for us, unless we are in prayer, unless we meditate upon these things and get into the depth of the Spirit of God, you will miss what He's really talking about. And there is such a spiritual application for this right now. Because in our land, in our country particularly, and the rest of the world as well, but really, right here in the United States, dark spiritual clouds have overshadowed the nation. And it's getting darker all the time. And this particular verse, is so profound because it says, "And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds." But I can tell you this, you and I know that there is a bright light in all of this. Just as Israel and Egypt had light in their dwellings when all the land was full of darkness, so the people of God have a bright light that shines within. Now, I'm sure we're all familiar with these big lion storms or thunderstorms that come rolling in. You know, it can be a nice, bright, sunny day like today. In fact, tomorrow afternoon, the clouds are going to roll in from the looks of things. And tomorrow night and Tuesday as well. But I've experienced this, I'm sure you have at one time or another, where it'll be a nice day and all of a sudden this big storm comes rolling in. And it isn't long and everything is black, dark. The sun is, where did it go? And people sometimes say, where'd the sun go? It's still there. But all these clouds came rolling in, all this thick darkness, this impending storm that's going to come raging in and perhaps rip trees out by the roots and all kinds of problems and deluge of rain. And then after a while, one little ray of light shines through. I've seen it, haven't you? Just one strand of light, and it begins to slowly dissipate the clouds, and suddenly they're gone. Now, while they're there, that's all you can see. It occupies your mind, your full attention. The storm demands your attention. It arrests your attention. That's all you can see. And so it is with the troubles and trials that have come upon this nation that are hanging over our heads right now. And men do not see the bright light in the clouds. But there is one. And I can see it by faith. And we know that no matter what happens, that our God is greater and that He is in control. Because everything in this world right now is out of control. It's becoming chaotic. A lot of people are wondering what's happening, what's going on. Well, this message is for you. There is a bright light in the clouds that men do not see. But the children of God can see it. And the day will come when all of this is going to be destroyed, pulled away, and the glorious kingdom of our Father will appear. Are you looking for that day? Glory to God. I know ordinarily we start out with a chorus. I'll sing one at the end to make up for not starting out with one. How's that sound? We'll give the Lord a good hand praise at that point in time. Now let's go over to the book of Jude with this thought in mind. There's only one chapter, so you can't get messed up on that. It's right before Revelation. The Epistle of Jude to the church. Remember, epistles are written to people who are already saved. They're letters from the apostles to the children of God. Now, in the book of Jude, he warns us of this time that would come. And isn't it something to be the children right now, the children of God, living in the time that was prophesied of all through the Bible, and here we are, right now, the fulfillment of it all, it's all coming to pass, and the Lord Jesus said to watch for the many signs that He would show. And I'm telling you what, just working on this newsletter, there are so many signs, I'll share some of them with you this morning, there are so many signs, but is anybody paying attention? Not too many. Not too many. But praise God, the Lord has a remnant. Amen. He always has a remnant. Jude said this by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Aren't you glad you're preserved? Do you know how long you would last if God didn't preserve you? How many times you almost did this or that, or this happened to you, and thank God for His preserving power. Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. These are three things that aren't found much in the world, are they? In fact, they're not found at all in the world except among the people of God. Mercy, peace, and love. Oh, I realize that the Obama administration's talking about love and he's going to fix everything up. How do you like it so far? Anyway, now he's saying what we need to do is we need to go into all the cities and tear down a lot of this, downsize all the cities, make them smaller. He wants to downsize. Go and bulldoze everything down. See? All the empty factories, all the empty buildings, just bulldoze it all. There's not going to be an occupation. See, we're diversifying. We're connecting with the rest of the world. So much of what was here is over there now in other countries. And so you downsize here. You go backwards. All right? Anyway, the Lord told us in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence," now that is good concerted effort, isn't it? "All diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." You know, there are supposedly over 200 different Christian religions, and none of them are Christian. Well, more than 200. But the Bible says there's a common salvation. And people are saying all kinds of things, but I think it's time for people to put all that aside and listen to what the Bible says. Because what I think and what you think doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's what did God say? And there aren't 200 different kinds of salvation. Now, Obama thinks everybody is going to be all right because eventually they'll all be Muslim, see? Well, in one way or another. Did he not get up in Cairo and say that this was a Muslim nation? With Muslim roots? When only 1.5% of this country claims to be Muslim? 1.5% and we're a Muslim nation? I don't think so, Mr. Obama, but I do know what you're up to. We understand what he's doing. And all of this is the beginning of a final cataclysm that you can call Armageddon if you want to. And by the way, he made that little trip. I'll get back to this later, but isn't it something? He made this little trip over there to Egypt and over to Saudi Arabia, and all of a sudden the gas prices go up. What kind of a deal did he work out with them? See, they love that, you know. And now the top economists are saying that the price of a barrel of oil will rise to $250. Your price at the pump will be between $7 and $8. That will about finish us off. All right? Now, these things don't happen by accident. I just want you to understand that. And I believe Bible prophecy must be applied to everything that is going on. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." There is one salvation, just as there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one spirit, one Bible, one church, one. Not a big mixture of all these things. Not an ecumenism. Not unifying all the religions like they do in the Masonic Lodge. Pick any god you want. Huh? There's a common salvation. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Oh, there's a lot in that verse. We have a common salvation. We are to earnestly contend for it. That means you fight for it. You struggle for it. You strive for it. Why? Because you're going to be constantly challenged. And I realize some people aren't up for that. They don't want to fight. They want to sit back and be at rest. But there's a war going on. Satan and all of his fallen angels are at war with the church of Jesus Christ. Read Revelation chapter 12. It'll tell you that. And yet, We are sustained in this wilderness by the Spirit of God. We are sustained. We are held together by Him. I hope you can see the battle lines being drawn, because they are coming against you full force right now. Anyway, and again, I'll give you some specifics shortly, but let's lay a foundation for this first. We are to earnestly contend, struggle, strive, fight, contend. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Well, it wouldn't be any good if he didn't win it. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all those that are glad it is appearing. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You know, I can believe God today in the midst of all the darkness that's out there, because I know there's a light in the clouds. It's there. I see it by faith. For there are certain men crept in. Notice they crept in. They're a bunch of creeps. All right? Certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Make a religion and then have lasciviousness in it? Oh, yes. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And they do that in many clever ways, you know. Some of these big televangelists that are out there, they have their own way of presenting themselves as the Messiah. And some of them will come right out and say it. Isn't it amazing? Who would have the audacity? And then you've got Pat Robertson, who prophesied and said that Barack Obama was here to lead this nation into socialism and everything would be just great. Yeah, how many people tune into this stuff? Tune in, turn on, throw up. Huh? Who would do it? Well, a lot of people do. Oh, a wonderful man of God. Socialism must be God's choice. God changed his mind, said we should be socialistic and have a dictator. Some people believe anything. Every squirrel can find some nuts, right? Verse 5 says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this. Notice he's trying to get them to recall what they already knew. You once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. What's he saying? Go back to when God first touched you. Go back to the miracles he did for you. Reference those things and never lose your reference point. Because you can find yourself in a situation like those that were wandering in the wilderness. Now, God took his people into the promised land, but the first generation didn't make it except for Joshua and Caleb. And he's saying that that ought to be an example to us. Because we cannot just assume anything. We must walk with God every day in the strength of our faith that He gives us, walking in the Spirit of the Lord, using the God-given gifts of the Spirit. And how are you going to have those if you don't have the Spirit? No wonder this church world's floundering around that Baptist Bible study group that had their Bible studies over at Hooters. Somewhere down in Georgia. Going to study the Bible at Hooters? You know, but, oh, well, we got to mingle with the sinners. Well, yeah, they'll win you. Yeah. The Bible says not to cast your pearls before the swine. Let them come and repent. I believe in getting out into the streets and reaching out to people. But there's a line you have to draw. If the Lord's working with you, you don't want to be dragging him into places like that. Come on. Now, the Word of God tells us in verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. You see, some of these angels, the Bible said, were thrust out. And here it tells us there were some that left their habitation. They kept not their first estate. They just were, before they could be thrust out, they left and followed Lucifer, who became Satan. I think those are the ones, see, the ones that were thrust out. And if somebody picked you up and gave you the bum's rush, threw you out the door, you would, that'd bother you a little, wouldn't it? You would feel unkindly toward that person that grabbed you by the back of the neck and the seat of the pants and waltzed you out and threw you out in the street. That'd make you a little violent feeling. Boy, I'll knock their nose off if I get the, you know. I think these are the demons that are out there and doing all the violent things, terrible things like that. But the ones that kept not their first estate, they just left. They're probably standing in pulpits, university lecture pits, my emphasis. Be surprised what goes on in the pits of these lecture pits that these professors are teaching. Do you ever hear some of these eggheads ramble on and on about all this godless stuff? I've been around them. Anybody here ever been in a lecture pit? Oh, yeah. And all this ungodliness that's causing this nation, this world to unravel so quickly. What is going on? Well, these fallen angels, they that kept not their first estate, see, they are the intellectuals. They are the intelligentsia. They are the elitist, the polished ones, right? With their pinstripe suits and double-breasted, of course, they don't wear those anymore. That'd be dead giveaway for mafia. But these politicians, you ever watch how they dress? Oh, they're polished. Did you ever look at Obama with his $4,000 suits? Who in thunder would pay $4,000 for a set of threads? I'd rather go to Goodwill, get something for $20. But you see, that's what they do. And they're out there and they're honoring each other, but not God, passing glory around, giving out medallions and medals like Obama over there and being declared the King Tut, the King of the Nile, right? Where's he getting all these titles from? See, the Antichrist collects titles. You understand that? Drives around in his beast mobile and tells us we've got to drive around these little pregnant roller skates, you know? That's what I call them, these little cars that, if you want to have a little car, fine, but remember these Yugos they used to have? They also, I think they were made in Yugoslavia, weren't they? Yes. Yeah. And then they had a van, too. It was called the Vago. But anyway, they took a Yugo one time, and they ran this thing into a wall, a brick wall at 5 miles an hour, and it was totaled. They couldn't open the door. 5 miles an hour? They couldn't open the doors or anything. The thing was just a pile of junk. Well, this is what Barack is sitting in his Oval Office there saying, I want all Americans to drive their little people's cars. Volkswagen? Shades of Hitler? Right? No offense on the Volkswagens, but but some of these little cars, you've got to get in and look for the armholes. And this is what, you know, they're so little. This is, I think I turned a corner one time and one drove up my sleeve, but they're these tiny little vehicles, you know, he wants you to, and he's got the Beastmobile. The Secret Service, you can be sure, are going to have those big monstrosities, gas-guzzling outfits. This is getting very, very strange. But yeah, these people, these elitists, are set up by the spirit of Antichrist for this very hour, because right now we see it all coming together. I noticed that not only Barack Obama, but many of his cabinet members and even the news media, they're all starting to use this expression, well, this is going to happen now because the stars are aligned, or the stars are right. They're all talking about the stars. See, witchcraft is on the surface, And the way it was prepared for it by all the Harry Potter books and Harry Potter movies and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and C.S. Lewis and all this drivel from hell that churches sponsored? Do you realize that these money-grabbing churches, televangelists, religions of all types are actually working for the Antichrist? That when you merchandise in a church and you buy and sell, it's not a church of God anymore. It's a business. It's a part of the Antichrist system. In the kingdom of God, there is no buying and selling at all, period. Amen. But they all want to jump on there and collect all they can, right? Well, I'll tell you, I've got plenty to say today. Thick clouds have come across our country. And he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. Did you ever see some of these characters running around these gay pride parades? You talk about strange flesh. We were in New York City one time. At Wall Street, they had one of these, the gay pride thing going on. Wall Street, my wife was such a culture shock for her, you know. She couldn't believe it. Here's this guy, he painted himself purple, and he was wearing a big diaper, and that's all he had on. He was walking down the street, growing man, you know. And they had every kind of, it was a freak show, like, you know. Ordinarily, you have to buy a ticket to see things like that, but it was a freak show all the way through. Who needs Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey? You've got this stuff going on. And you know, in San Diego, they got this big gay pride queer parade going on. And they assemble, they put the floats up, they get it all set up. And the street they start from is Normal Street. Normal Street. They had to pick that on purpose, didn't they? Because they want you to think it's normal. It's normal to walk around with a diaper and paint yourself purple. It's normal to spike your hair and turn yourself all kinds of colors. That's supposed to be normal. I'll tell you what it is. Demon spirits get in. They move into that apartment called the human body. They say, now I'm going to redecorate. I'm going to paint it the way I want it. I'm going to fix it the way I want it. Because if I'm going to live here as a demon, I want it demonized. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example. As what? An example that people are supposed to learn from. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And I'm going to tell you, that judgment that fell on those blind men, the judgment fell on blind men. Just like the final judgment actually falls on people who are blinded by the darkness. Read it in Revelation 16 sometime. Ultimate judgment falls on blind men. That wasn't just a temporary fire to destroy the veil of Siddim and the cities of the plain. That was an eternal damnation. These people went to hell. I have something to read to you. Not that I want to do it, but I think I should. 40 years ago, patrons and supporters of the Stonewall Inn in New York City resisted police harassment that had become all too common for members of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender LGBT community. Out of this resistance, the LGBT rights movement in America was born. During LGBT Pride Month, we commemorate the events of June 1969 and commit to achieving equal justice under law for LGBT Americans. As long as the promise of equality for all remains unfulfilled, all Americans are affected. If we can work together to advance the principles upon which our nation was founded Every American will benefit. During LGBT Pride Month, I call upon the LGBT community, the Congress, and the American people to work together to promote equal rights for all, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, therefore, I, Barack Obama, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2009 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. I call upon the people of the United States to turn back discrimination and prejudice everywhere it exists. They declare their sin as Sodom. Whether you realize it or not, Barack Hussein Obama has placed a curse with his own hand upon the nation, inviting the fire and wrath of God to come down, along with everybody who even tolerates this. And everybody who has a 501c3 status with the federal government cannot, by law, speak against. They couldn't speak against this. They couldn't do what I'm doing right now. It'd be a violation of federal law. Because this is public policy. Public policy says that we should honor and respect the little fairies. Now I'm really in trouble, huh? These limp-wristed little pansy boys and these butch dyke women and all the rest of that ilk. We know what God thinks of it. Would they like to hear a repetition of it? And Barack Obama is obviously in their camp. He officially, in the power of his office, which doesn't really belong to him because he was born in Africa. Oh, did you hear about that? They're putting up billboards all over the country. People raised money. The billboards say, "Where is the birth certificate?" All over the country, putting big billboards. Where is the birth certificate? One group offered a reward of $25 million to produce the birth certificate. But there isn't one, because he was born in Africa. He's not eligible to be president. The Illuminists put him there. The American people are tolerating it to a great extent. Not everybody. But we can see what is happening. Dark clouds have obscured the light. But the people of God know that there is a light in the clouds. And it's always there, and it's always going to be there until these clouds dissipate and our Lord comes again with trumpet sound and with the voice of the archangel. Glory to God. Likewise also these filthy dreamers. Do you realize that there are a lot of dirty people in this land? You know, we're the good guys, aren't we? United States of America? Recently, a group of people got together and they shipped Bibles over to Afghanistan, printed in the Afghan language. And our United States Army confiscated and burned them. Contraband. Not the bad guys. Not the Taliban. The United States Army. And the Pentagon defended it. They said, "We're not trying to convert these people. It's not what we're here for. Burn the Bibles." So our soldiers, paid for by your tax dollars, burned these Bibles so they couldn't get them. Filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And it's talking spiritually there. I'll tell you why, because our government officials don't have any dignity. A lot of people get confused on this. They think, well, you know, we need to honor them because of their office and all this. Hey, wait a minute, they've dishonored their office. They don't belong there. We're living in that peculiar time right now where they're not there to promote good works. I just read to you, they're there to promote Sodom and Gomorrah. They're there to promote abortion. They're there to mock God, to insult Him. And the people of God need to have enough sense in the Spirit to realize what they're fighting with. These are dark clouds over our land. We're living during the era of Antichrist. It's different now. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. That's God. No man has control over your soul. That's why it reads like that in Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. The soul is subject only to God. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil... Did you ever contend with the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. He disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." That's all it takes. By faith, you can rebuke the enemy. We need to start asking people, have you rebuked the devil today? Huh? Why not? He's constantly on assault against you and against all the people of God. Every day as we pray, Lord, rebuke the devil. Drive him out. Break his power. I'll tell you, the devil has a hard time. In fact, he can't operate in the presence of God. So if you stay in the presence of God, he can't operate. Amen. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. What kind of car does Obama drive? In those things they corrupt themselves. Why does he need that car anyway? Why don't they get him a Fiat since they bought out Chrysler? Get him one of those. Get him old, used, junkyard Yugo. But no, he's got to have this big monstrosity, this gas-guzzling thing that has all kinds of weapons attached to it and armor plates and its own makes its own atmosphere inside and all this. Oh, he's got to have all that. After all, look who he is. He takes that car with him wherever he goes. Has it flowing all over the world. How long before he's going to drive into Jerusalem with it and say, put me up a temple? Huh? Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. In other words, this is a spirit of usurpation, of rising up to take over, to seize power. When's the last time a president fired a secular private sector president of a company? He fires the head of GM, moves in and takes over, says we're going to build nothing but little cars now. Little cars for little people. You know, the num-num car. That's his mentality. This is socialism. This is the spirit of Antichrist that is rising up. Now, it gets detailed. I'll get into that momentarily. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, there we are. There's your clouds. Clouds they are without water. That's all a cloud is water. So it's got to be talking about a spiritual cloud. Isn't it amazing how the Lord made that to work? Clouds float. Water floats above the air. It's a miracle, isn't it? Check any barometer. We find that water vapor is lighter than air. When you add water to the air, it gets lighter. Anybody want to get the calculator out and figure that one? But these are clouds without water. Spiritual activity clouding the people of America, clouding their minds, clouding their understanding, giving them water to drink that has fluoride in it and chlorine. You know, chlorine is a bleach. And chlorine, when you put it, mix any kind of halogen with oil, of course, they hydrogenate stuff, don't they? It solidifies. It makes it solid, gets it kind of gummy and sticky. Margarine, right? Starts out as an oil. They hydrogenate it, right? And they give it to you to eat so you can clog up your arteries and then build bigger hospitals. They want you sick. They come out with this H1N1 virus that had to be manufactured. And there are a lot of experts from foreign countries I've heard from. Just got one from New Zealand here lately telling the story behind that. They had to manufacture that. And now they're working and passing a law for mandatory immunizations with no exceptions. Are they crowding us a little bit? They're turning up the heat. You try to warn people that it's coming, and they just are so complacent. You know, people are preoccupied with going to the races, with going to the baseball game, with all these distractions. Try to tell them a little Bible truth once and see how far you get. It takes a miracle touch of God to even get their attention. And then their attention span is short. But there are some, there are a few. I'm convinced there's a couple berries left on the bush out there somewhere. Seems like the apples that are left to pick are at the top of the tree, and you got to shake that tree all you can. They seem hard to reach, don't they? You shake the tree enough, they'll fall off. I'm using an analogy, of course. But notice, it says, feeding themselves with you. They'll even hang out with you to a certain extent. Do you ever notice there's so many people who want to get close to Christianity but never are converted? They want to think everybody's saved. Everybody has the Spirit. It's all automatic. Just raise your little Baptist hand and you're saved. Well, they're not the only ones who do that. But that religion makes me sick. You don't have to do anything to be saved. Once you are saved, you can't do anything to be lost. So they're wrong on both ends and in the middle too. These are spots in your feces. By the way, the most nasty letters I've ever received are from Baptists. Second of those are witches. Seriously. You ought to read some of them if you could. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. See, they don't care about anything. What, me worry? They don't fear anything. The government will take care of us, cradle to the grave. That's right, you're born, little baby's born, they give them 17 shots by the time they're 2 months old. 17! And they wonder why there's so many that are autistic. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, the second death, you see. Plucked up by the roots. They're still walking around breathing, but they're twice dead, destined for hell. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Oh yes, the dark clouds have rolled in, but thank God this morning I know there's a light in the clouds, and I know who that light is. And no matter how thick the clouds become and surround this nation, there's still a light. Enoch saw it in his day. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. Isn't that good news? The Lord cometh. Do you know what they'd do to you if you went outside and walked around the street saying, the Lord cometh, the Lord cometh? The walnut wagon would pull up, and these guys with the white coats would come out with the nets and throw one over you. And yet the Bible says the Lord cometh. This is good news. With 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. There's a lot of ungodlies in there. Are we being too rough? Not any rougher than the Bible is. This is a stern warning. Clouds have filled the land. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Oh, there's none of that going on, is there? Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage? That's all they do. It's called diplomacy. It's called foreign diplomacy. Right? Isn't it something, you know, you look at some of these details that are going on. We've got this city, New York City, the Big Apple, as it's called. The crossroads of the world, the capital city of the world, it's they call it. I've been there 14 times. Times Square is the crossroads of the world, they say. You ought to see that place at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just like daytime. Streets are full of people. Bright lights. Artificial lights. Because they don't have any other light. They got a lot of lights in New York City because they got 400 skyscrapers. They can't even see the sun when it's up. Unless you happen to be in one little area. It's shadowy all the time as you walk the streets. You walk down Broadway, it's very dark when the sun is bright. 400 skyscrapers, and I'm not talking about the size of Hotel Rogers here. I'm talking about way up yonder, into the sky, all over the place. A lot of the offices are empty now because businesses have closed down. But you look at that city of Manhattan, the borough of Manhattan, one of the five boroughs, and it's laid out so that when the sun rises two times a year, it functions exactly as Stonehenge does. This is how Manhattan is laid out. Just like the way the sun rises over 42nd Street where the UN is in the east over the East River and then sets directly on the other side on West 42nd over by the Hudson. And it functions just like a temple like Stonehenge. Why is it that Barack Obama, for his first trip to New York since becoming president, chose that day in the spring when the sun was functioning as it does in Stonehenge? In fact, the witches called it Manhattanhenge. And then why did he go over to Egypt? Is there any scriptural implication here? Where he was declared the king of the Nile, Pharaoh, the son of the sun god, King Tut. Now he's the son of the sun god, the son of Baal, the son of Amen-Ra. Put a medallion around his neck with King Tut's name and Obama's picture on it, engraved in it. And then he went over to Saudi. There he declared that we're a Muslim nation, you see. Then he went over to Saudi Arabia and made a speech, but his wife couldn't come. She went on all this trip all through Europe, you know, and the Holocaust thing, and where he put a single rose on a marker, and he went all over and had a little argument with Angela Merkel, had an argument with the Sarkozys in France and wouldn't even go out to lunch with them, insulting them, and an argument with Gordon Brown, arguing with everybody because he's taking the preeminence, you see. And then he goes over and they declare him the king of the Nile, put this medallion around his neck, and then they gave him the Aziz Order of Merit, which is a big gold chain, and it has a six-pointed star inside of a seven-pointed star, making 13 points with a palm tree rising out as it would rise out of the Nile River. He's got this big gold thing. Of course, a little gold isn't much to invest in that man. I mean, after all, if they can raise the oil prices, they'll get that back. But there he was over there fulfilling a mission. You see, when Barack Obama was accepting the nomination, he chose the Denver Broncos stadium, a mile high in the mountains there. Denver, where east meets west, the very middle of our country in the occult. The witches always call it the place where east meets west. Of course, remember how John Denver, the songwriter, ended up over there? Rocky Mountain High and all this stuff. Of course, he was a lot of places. He went to California, too. They get around a little. But that was his favorite spot there. Of course, he wrote that song, Inch by Inch, Row by Row, Gotta Make This Garden Grow. Anybody ever hear that song? And they called upon a force to warm it from below. Huh? And so forth. And the garden song. Yeah, I just remember all this stuff. It's really something. But anyway, Barack Obama picked this spot. Why? A Denver Broncos, all the places. Why that stadium? Well, it's kind of interesting because, yes, it is where east meets west, but also, who was the mascot for the Denver Broncos team? They had a brilliant white stallion, an Arabian stallion. Beautiful white horse, and it was named Thunder. The very meaning of Barack's name in Hebrew. Then, you reference back to when Muhammad was all laying in his little tent there, 51 years old, trying to get a night's sleep, and the angel Gabriel, this is what the Muslims teach, the angel Gabriel came in and roused him up and invited him to come outside. Because outside there was a brilliant white Arabian stallion with wings that Gabriel told him once belonged to Abraham, and his name was Al-Barak, the horse of thunder, right? And Gabriel mounted the horse, and so did Muhammad, and they flew all over to the holy spots in the world, in Jerusalem and Mecca and these different places, and then took him straight up to Allah, where he met Allah face to face, and told him that one day Muhammad would ride again on a white horse. So now you got Barack Obama going to the Broncos Stadium. Here's this Arabian stallion, brilliant white, named Thunder. And there he accepted his nomination. On April 24th, the horse dropped dead. Poor animal. Another coincidence? Huh? These things just happen? Is this all just, all these things just all fall, and, you know, it's all chance, huh? No. It's all by design. So now you've got King Tut of the Nile, who's also president of the United States, who also has won the hearts of all the people in Europe. And while he was making the speech in Cairo, a storm came up in Washington, D.C., and literally this violent storm near the White House came and took a tree that was 69 years old, planted in 1940, and ripped it out by the roots and threw it, slammed it down on the White House lawn. It was a European linden tree. Where did the lindens grow? Remember, think back now to the Third Reich. Think about Hitler's favorite saying about how they would gather unter den Linden. Wilhelmstrasse. Where did Barack Obama make his big springboard speech for Europe when he was campaigning? He's supposed to be campaigning over here, but he's in Berlin, unter den Linden, under the linden trees, making his speech. Hanging around in Berlin, under the linden. So there's a linden tree in the White House lawn. He's making a speech in Cairo. God comes along with a storm, pulls it out by the roots, a 69-year-old tree, and slams it down. So that's what I think of you. All right? Another coincidence? How many more do you want? There's all kinds of them. It goes on and on and on. No, all of this is done by design. And I'll tell you, dark clouds are captivating our country. And people are walking around in this Obama daze. They can't think straight. I got some people get so mad at me for even mentioning Obama. You know, we had 45 prison chaplains that don't want the newsletter anymore because of what I say about Obama. And so we have to send the letters individually to the inmates instead of by bulk. But there are others that welcome them. Thank God for that. But there is a force rising up. Now the United Nations has declared, and by the way, I've got a UN document saying that this U.S. Census, with all the global positioning thing, is a UN project. What does the UN have to do with the United States Census? And now the federal government, there's legislation, there's a lot of legislation that's coming down like off a conveyor belt, one after another. Now they are seizing upon all the water, literally, and they spelled it out in detail. Every underground stream, every creek, every duck pond in the backyard, and I'm not exaggerating, every mud puddle, all water belongs to them. It's not yours anymore. There's water in your land, that's not yours. They've got mineral rights, they got water rights. They're taking it all. You can live there as long as you abide by their regulations and pay their taxes. They'll let you live there because you don't own anything anymore, you see? Everything you've got is given by their benevolence because you don't know what's good for you. They'll tell you what to eat. They'll tell you not to take the vitamins because they have to be regulated by the federal government, the Codex Alimentarius law, which will be forthcoming. They're going to make all these supplements prescription. That way you got to go and see the doctor and pay him $200 if you want to get some vitamin C. How long before they regulate oranges and grapefruit? If you want to go and buy some shark cartilage, you could get arrested for taking chicken cartilage scraps out of the dumpster from Colonel Sanders. KFC. I'm telling you, they are going to regulate everything. Just watch. This sounds far-fetched? Maybe so. But you watch how they close in as the dark clouds come in and get thicker and thicker and thicker. That is precisely why we need to be yielded to God and be filled with the Spirit. And now they've got legislation that is about to go through regulating all guns to disarm the people and saying, well, if you're going to have a gun, now you have to have it registered, of course. You have to be fingerprinted, and you have to keep it locked up in our designated place, and you are subject to a mandatory mental and physical evaluation at our discretion at any time. They can show up at your door and say you're due for a mental and physical checkup because you own a gun. It's a fact. I've got a copy of it. This is what's going through. And what's next? Dare we ask? How about the mandatory service thing called GIVE? They're calling it GIVE. It's an acronym. And it means that all people, it is mandatory that they serve as volunteers to the government. Slaves in Egypt. What are they going to do next? Take away the straw and increase the tail of brick? This man's been declared Pharaoh in Egypt. This is not a joke, for this is happening. He's King Tut now. King Tut. See what happens? You know, it looks like, oh, they're just doing that. It's all for show. It's just glitz. These spirits come in. He is King Tut in spirit. He is Ramesses in spirit. And all these other things, because in the last days, all these spirits converge upon this man, and Satan himself comes in. Now, I don't know if he is the Antichrist, but boy, does he fit the profile perfectly. And I don't know, maybe he's a forerunner, but there is one coming, and it would have to appear very soon, because this is just about over. Now, they've given him another name as well. You ready for this one? Nimrod. The great hunter. Are there any other titles they're going to give him? President Tut. Who would ever have guessed or believed even remotely that there was a possibility of this happening? You see how fast it unraveled? How quickly it comes apart? What does the Bible say? It tells us, we're still in Jude. In verse 17, he says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. I don't know if you've run into any. Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves. Sensual. Oh, they're sensual, all right, aren't they? Having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Most people who have prayed have never prayed in the Holy Ghost and need to. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Get out of your filthy garment and put on the robe of salvation.
That's right, amen. Praise the Lord.
Now unto him that is able to keep you. Did you hear that? He's able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless. That's through the blood of Jesus, folks. Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God. If there's more than one, I'll tell you there's only one wise one. That's God. Oh, by the way, the Sotomayor that he picked for the Supreme Court, isn't she a Jim Dandy? She said her favorite thing is to eat pig innards, including ears, and all these other things. And she sits around and watches Law and Order, chewing on pig's ears and innards. Can you... And she is a member of La Raza, which is the United Race. Supreme Court. Supposed to be the greatest legal minds in the world, or United States at least. What a bunch of goofballs. Oh, by the way, that abortion doctor that was killed, that Lutheran board member in the Lutheran Church, an usher. Big, well-respected man. I don't advocate anybody killing anybody. We'll let God take care of that. But I'll tell you what, he's gone, and so is his clinic. They said they're going to close it forever. Amen. It's gone. You know, I'm not saying what the man did was right, the guy that popped him. I'm not saying that was right. I'm just saying, well, that's what happened. And I'm not sending any flowers. Killing all those babies, third-term babies? Yes, there's only one wise God. And clouds have filled our land. Dark clouds, thick clouds. But as we read in Job, there is a light. There is a light in the clouds. Let's look at what Jesus said in John chapter 3. Just a couple of verses as we begin to wind this down this morning. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth." Remember in Job, he said, the wind will blow and drive the clouds away and bring forth the light. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." In this world, there is such a fear and a terror everywhere. But they put that on you, didn't they? Everybody's nervous. They're selling a lot of drugs, you know. Because people are so nervous. Everything's working against us. They're just braced for catastrophe. Which is why they divert and go over to all the entertainment. And they watch all the queers in Hollywood and all the movies and things they do. And all these multi-million dollar millionaire sports stars and so forth. And occupy themselves with that. Because in this world there's a fear. And they don't know God. They don't know the light. They haven't seen the light in the clouds. And they want to try and put that spirit on us. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of peace and of a sound mind. You know, a woman told a story one time where she was driving home. And she was out in the country at night, a long ways from anywhere, trying to get home. And it was a country road, so there wasn't much traffic of any. Dark night. And her car stalled on her and quit, and she couldn't get it started. She was able to pull off the side of the road. And she said another car came along and pulled up behind her, and it was a man. The first thing that hit her is, what's going to happen to me? Is he going to violate me? Is he going to rob me? Is he going to kill me? She locked the doors, rolled up, put the windows up and locked the doors. And the man started walking closer and closer. She was getting more and more scared. And then she heard something. The man was singing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." And all of her fear in an instant was gone. The man was singing to the Lord as he approached her car. And he said, "Do you need some help?" And the fear was gone. Just hearing those words, "What a friend we have in Jesus," she knew the man was worshiping his Lord. And he helped her, got her home safely, took care of the car. It all worked out. Abject fear turned into joy just with a few words of a song. A song in the night that makes the fear go away. You see, the Lord gave us the power of his saving blood to take away the spirit of fear. There was a young boy one time. His sister got very sick, needed a transfusion. And they had both a very rare blood type. The little girl had a very rare blood type. Her brother had the same blood type, very rare. They said she needs an emergency transfusion. And the mother went to the little boy and said, "Would you give your sister your blood?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I might." He said, "Okay, I will." And they took him in and they hooked up the transfusion, and he laid there and he said to the nurse, "Is it going to hurt when I die?" And the nurse had to explain to him, "We're not going to take all your blood, just a little of it to help your sister live." But he was laying there thinking he was going to die, and they had to explain it to him. But I got news for you. When Jesus gave us the power of his blood, he gave it all and it did hurt. But he gave us life and power and the resurrection power by what he did. And we are sustained and delivered. We don't have a spirit of fear. We see light, a light in the clouds that other men do not see. And as this nation unravels and falls apart all around us, and our president keeps claiming more titles, gold chains from the Arabs, and the title of King Tut, President Tut. I can't get over that. And he wants to run everything from the vitamin industry to government motors. And that article I read in Pravda, the Russian newspaper Pravda, had an article with the headlines, "Capitalism in America Gone Without a Whimper." They know it over there, but people here are walking in the clouds of darkness, and they don't see the light that Job spoke of. Thank God we can see it. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we remain thankful, Lord, as we contemplate all these things, and we're in great need of Thee, O God. Help us as we walk in this land filled with darkness and the many clouds that are even thickening now, we know Thy light is here. And we look upon it in the Spirit. We know the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound of it, even the sound of Thy Spirit. Lord, I pray for everyone in the hearing of my voice today, whether it be in this auditorium or over the internet, in 86 countries around the world. Oh God, that Thou wouldst help all of us to reach out to Thee now. For Thou didst give us the power of Thy saving blood. We know it did hurt when Thou didst die, but Thou art alive forevermore. And Thou hast revived us, O Lord. And I pray now that Thou wouldst sweep over our souls, that Thou wouldst walk among us, O Lord, and dwell within us, and give us victory in this time of trouble and chaos. Give us victory in the Holy Ghost, we pray. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.